from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
At all costs, no matter.
Oh, up the middle.
Okay,
nice diving stop.
Let's go.
Trey.
Are you kidding me?
I love that.
Hey, let's go.
How's that bell feel?
That bell's brutal. That's why I don't wear these things.
What a play by Trey Turner. What a night for Major League Baseball and for the Phillies last night. It was really a celebration of the Phillies. 8 All-Stars, obviously 3 starters, and they're all mic'd up during that inning. Trey Turner with the nice play at shortstop. Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, 215-592-9494. All right, we'll get to back to all your phone calls on the Jalen Hurts conversation, and does he need his legs to win big? I believe he does, and I hope next week when we start to see him, he's running and moving like he did in the past. Hugh thinks he can evolve and win even without them and just as a pocket guy. So Hugh, last night, all-star game, AL wins, but I thought it was fun when they mic'd up the three Phillies there, Bryce Harper and Alec Boehm and Trey Turner all together in the infield. It felt like a really big night of Phillies because they all participated, right? Three started, the three pitchers all got in the game for a little bit. It was their night last night. It was kind
of
cool.
Yeah, man, but you like it's one of those moments that we'll remember it more when the season's over, if you get where I'm going with
like,
it.
It's part of the story of the season?
Yeah, it's a part of the storyline. Like I talked about earlier, Joe, how it feels like this season has the potential to be special, and that's just one of those moments that we will look back on in loving memory at the end of the season.
Well, it was a big night for all the Phillies that were there. I mean, the introductions took forever to get through all their names because there were so many of them. So it was cool. I enjoyed the All-Star game. I always enjoy the baseball All-Star game. All the Phillies had hits last night, including a Harper double in the first inning. But as I watched the game last night, Hugh, I did start to dream a little bit because we're watching the game and there's a certain player right now that has become the apple of my eye as we get close to the trade deadline. We are 13 days away from the MLB trade deadline. And I recognize how good the Phillies pitching staff has been, and their bullpen has been good. But there is a guy out there, and he pitched last night, and he looked dominant, including striking out Shohei Ohtani, and his name is Mason Miller. He pitched here against the Phillies last week for the Oakland A's, and he might be the most dominant relief pitcher, first of all, in all of baseball, but certainly maybe in years that has been traded or could be traded at the deadline. And I want him on this team. Yesterday, Adam Wainwright, who knows a thing or two about winning, he was on with Colin Cowherd saying, Phillies don't have many weaknesses, but if there's one, maybe it's the end of the bullpen where they could add one more guy.
I think if I was going to look objectively at one weakness, maybe, and it hasn't really shown yet, but I would probably point to the ninth inning. They got some great arms down there. Incredible bullpen, just like they had last year, was what's one of the reasons they had such a good run to the postseason the last couple of years is their bullpen. But you know, Alvarado and some of the other guys, they share that duty. I think Rob said maybe, you know, if I was going to pick one, maybe I would want like a ninth inning guy, but not really. You know, I just think he trusts his team so much with the people they have there and the personnel they have that they can probably make it work with however they whoever they have down there. And those guys all have incredible arms. I mean, that's probably the one thing I look at.
So I think it was interesting the way Adam Wainwright framed that. It's not so much a weakness, but if there's one more like missing piece, maybe it is the great bullpen piece, the great arm. Because here we were discussing the other day, we trust Hoffman, right? Mm-hmm. We trust Strom. Kirkering has really emerged as the season has gone on. He feels trustworthy, but it only feels like there's like three guys you really trust right now, and that feels like not enough when the playoffs arrive.
Yeah, and you know how I feel about this, Joe. You can never have enough pitching. And if he's a guy that's going to come in and you know, we're talking about giving you some lights out innings, I'm okay with that, because I feel like as much as the bats went cold last year, pitching is going to help keep you in that if our bats get cold.
Well, we also remember that Kimbrel went bad last year. And that was bad. Yeah, and Mason Miller, every time I watch him, I'm just amazed. I mean, he has the best stuff of any pitcher in baseball. That's how good he is right now, at least relief pitchers. Jim Salisbury recently on the Philly show with Todd Zielecki, with Ruben Amaro, here was his take on the idea of Mason Miller, and is it worth it for what the Phillies would have to give up to get him?
Miller put on a show, too. What a body. What a release. What an arm. What ride on that fastball. And you think about it, how expensive he'd be because of the control, the 5 years of control, but there are mitigating factors. He had a strain of his UCL last year.
Didn't get relievers, it.
Relievers can be up and down. You don't know what he's going to be like over that 5 years of control. In some way, and then you don't know what the elbow is going to be like. In some ways, he might be like a perfect fit here, because you might get the best 2 or 3 years of his career in the next 2 or 3 years. And that would fit right in with this team's window. You got 3 years of Wheeler coming. You got a few years. You got more years of Nola, but you got Turner, Schwarber for another year. You got Turner and Harper for a number of years. You kind of got everybody just north of 30. They need to win one this year, next year, the year after. This window is right here.
I agree with Jim on this, and I don't think we've had this discussion like that. You said a few minutes ago you'd be excited to have Mason Miller. I would too. I think anyone would, right? You say, you want to add Mason Miller to the Phillies? Yeah, I want to add Mason Miller to the Phillies.
Heck yeah.
But would you be willing to give up what it takes? So he has 5 years of team control left. He's 25 years old. There's no way they're going to give him up unless you give up something special. And I am willing to do it. Here's how I'll frame this. If I'm Dave Dombrowski, I would offer them or be willing to part with either of their top two prospects. I would give them one of Aiden Miller, who's become their top positional prospect, or Andrew Painter. I'm willing to do it. And I don't want to trade these young players. They seem like they could be building blocks for years to come. But this is the moment. This is the kind of team you give up something to get something special. I thought about this last night watching the game. Imagine the Phillies have a lead after six innings in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And they have in the bullpen, ready to roll, Orion Kirkering, Matt Strom, Jeff Hoffman, Mason Miller. The game is over. The game is over with those guys. Hugh, I would be willing to give up one of their two best prospects to get this guy. And I think it would take one of those guys to get him. Would you be willing to do it?
You know what, Joe? I'm torn again with it when it comes to this, because I'm thinking, like, this is the sweet spot of the Phillies right now. And it's one of those things where it's time to get over the hump. You know, you talk about where this team, the timeline had been moved up when Topper became the manager,
mm-hmm.
and all of that. And you look at the moves that haven't been made. You look at the way the team is constructed and everything. But more, I tell you, Andrew Painter feels to me like he can be what Steven Strasburg was to the Nationals.
He could be.
And I don't, like, that's where I'm torn. But I'm also torn with the fact that, you know, being here in Philadelphia and going to three NFC championship games and not winning them, that hurts too.
Because you guys, you probably needed a missing piece that you didn't have at that point.
That hurts too. Man, I would say yeah. I mean, and another thing, I don't know what Mason's gonna be. in the next couple
of
seasons.
Well, that is fair. Now, he had an elbow injury last year. He didn't require surgery, but he had an elbow injury. And relief pitchers can be volatile, right? They go up, they go down.
I don't know what he's going to be.
But Jim Salisbury, in that cut we played, made a good point. Like, the best of his career is probably right now, the next 2 or 3 years. This is it fits with their window. I know it's...
It's unknown for me too, Joe, because you know it's not a guarantee.
Nothing's guaranteed.
You know, my money's scared. I don't like that. They say scared money don't make money.
Man, could you imagine playoff game against the Dodgers, a lead in the seventh inning?
Why are you looking at me like that, Kyle? Like he's thoroughly disappointed.
This is the missing piece. This is the guy. He's the best relief pitcher in baseball.
I said I would take him.
It's a tough thing for you, Hugh, to part ways with the young guy.
I'm nervous.
Well, and you know what? Part of this, I think a lot of people are nervous on this. The two prospects we're talking about potentially giving up, people think they're special.
Yes, Painter.
And then we played the cut a few weeks ago that someone within the Phillies told Jim Bowden that Aiden Miller's the best prospect they've had since Mike Schmidt, which it sounds ridiculous, but maybe that's the way they feel. And guess what? I'd be willing to give up one of them. Not both, but one of them. Because this guy, we watched him here against the Phillies last Friday. He was throwing 104. Bryce was impressed. And then last night, he made Trey look silly. He struck out Ohtani. I mean, this guy is unbelievable. Kyle, I'm in. I'm Chasen Mason. I am in to go get Mason
Chasen,
Miller.
Look at
I'm Chasen Mason.
Chasen Mason, baby.
Get him.
I'm with you. Like, prospects are called prospects for a reason. They're just prospects. I don't know how great Andrew Painter is or is going to be. Aiden Miller either. Who I do know is great and great right now during the Phillies window is Mason Miller. And like I get that the Phillies have gotten to where they are right now, 62 wins, because they have a great starting rotation and a solid bullpen. And the starters are going deep. But in a postseason situation, they're a little more like looser or like quicker with the hook.
Remember Topper in Atlanta in game, was it one last year?
Yeah.
He's all those pitchers. Yeah.
He took Wheeler out at the first sign of trouble in the World Series. Now, obviously, that bit them. But like, I don't expect our starters to be going out there and going seven innings in the postseason. We just shouldn't, right? So I think they really like, that's why I'm starting to swing back towards needing a bullpen arm more than anything. Like, I want that fourth guy that I can trust to, like you said, sort of just pretty much end a game when we have a lead late in the postseason like that. If we get freaking Mason Miller, man, blowing 104 by you, and then he puts Strom out there after that, who's throwing like 93, that's tough, man. That's tough for a lineup.
I think back to 2016, the Cubs had the best record. It was their year. They were the best team. And what'd they do at the deadline? They went and got Aroldis Chapman, who at that point was, you know, in his prime, was a great relief pitcher, and it put him over the top to win the World Series. I'm in. I would trade one of their two best prospects to get Mason Miller. Plus, you get him for 5 years. This isn't a rental. I mean, you got some team control here. 215-592-9494. All right, a lot to discuss between the Phillies. Would you trade one of the top prospects for Mason Miller? We saw him last Friday against the Phillies, saw him last night in the All-Star game. This guy's ridiculously good, and he right now is the best relief pitcher in baseball.
And the other thing about him is, because I know Painter is a tough one for people, the risk with Aiden Miller having Mason Miller with the Tommy John or the UCL.
Yep.
Andrew Painter literally just had Tommy John surgery, and this guy could project as a starter in a few years.
They
have so much control.
They can move him back to rotation.
You don't hurt that much losing Andrew Painter in your rotation if Mason Miller ends up filling that spot.
Yeah, and this is the window. This is the moment. I mean, if you could, like Kyle said it well, bullpens in the October are huge. If you can end a game with a lead after six, that's how you win the World Series. I'm in. I would do it. 215-592-9494. Should they go all in for Mason Miller? And, of course, the Eagles. Jalen Hurts says he need his legs to win. Let's go to Pat in Blackwood. Hey, Pat.
Pat.
Hey, guys. Great show. You guys are going up right on the money. Listen, as a guy who started out with rooting for the Philadelphia A's, so I'm pretty old. I'm up there. This is a no-brainer. Mason Miller. I don't care, Andrew Painter, who you want to go. The guys in the minor leagues, they're chips. Anybody remember Dom Brown? Mickey Moniak.
Yep.
Can't miss. They missed.
Okay, well, Pat, I'll throw a couple more. How about Kyle Drabek, who was part of the deal to get Roy Halladay?
And
people didn't want to give him up. And he got hurt and didn't turn out to be much.
Let me tell you my trade. They're going to make two trades here. Okay? First trade, get Mason Miller if they can. If for some reason they can't get him, they need another relief pitcher to close. This guy Yates, 37 years old for Texas. He's a good reliever. They could probably get him.
Yeah, I like him, and he's been a closer before. And Texas is in a weird spot because they're not buried, yeah, but they're under 500. I would definitely take him if he's available.
But I want Miller. I don't care what they got to give up in their minor leagues. Now, the other one, they can get out cheaper, and they need this guy. I seen this guy Rooker hitting this, Brent Rooker. You got to get him. Okay, he's maybe a lousy fielder. They say he's a lousy fielder. I don't know. They say Castellanos is a lousy fielder, but he doesn't do too bad out there. But this guy, Phillies are going to be left-handed. They're going to have left-handed pitchers turn against them all through the playoffs. They need a right-handed bat that can put that ball in the seat. And that guy can put the ball in the seat.
Boy, did he this past weekend. Yeah, Pat, I mean, you could do it as a package deal. And, Pat, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, they could do that too, Hugh. If the A's say, well, we need one of these best prospects, well, they could say, well, you got to throw Brent Rooker in the package too.
Yeah,
Miller
be,
and Rooker.
Yeah, Rooker would be nice. He put on a clinic last week too. He put on a little bit of a clinic. So, yeah, that would be nice. Man, I just don't know. My thing with this is the future. And Painter looked like he was going to be a part of the future, but we need to win now, man. Because if that's the one piece that is felt like it could get us over the hump, then I'm all for it.
I think he's the most impactful player that's going to get traded. I mean, Luis Robert is probably 1A, 1B, the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
But this feels like the guy. I could just picture Mason Miller dominating October. He gets into 10 games, and he gives up like one run total. If that he has that kind of ability. And you saw him last night against Shohei Ohtani. We saw him against the Phillies last week. This guy is unbelievable. And I know the prospect stuff matters, and I don't want the Phillies to be bad in 5 years. But they might be anyway. I mean, have we thought about that?
We got to get a World Series win, man.
They have old players. Right, I mean, I'm not saying
that's the thing. That's the thing
it's
for
now.
Me, Joe.
It's now.
Like you don't want to be a team that is at the precipice and then get on and don't win it and again get on the other side of it. You don't want to be that.
Yeah, and look, they could have Andrew Painter in 5 years, but if they have a lot of old guys around them, is it really like the window's got to make sense? It all has to come together at the same time. And I hope Dave Dombrowski's trying. Now, again, I don't know if the A's are actually going to trade him. They don't have to. He's got 5 years left. It's not like they have to move him. But, Dave Dombrowski could entice them. He could offer one of these two guys. He could say, hey, are you really going to turn down a future all-star shortstop, a future all-star starting pitcher for a closer on a bad team? I think they would do it.
Yeah. I mean, the A's are the professional team. They're a professional farm team, to be totally honest.
They are.
When you talk about some of the players that they've let go over the last couple of years. They're a professional foreign team, and if I'm not mistaken, they're going to be homeless, like me, in a little while, right?
They are. Well, they're trying to get to Las Vegas.
Vegas, yeah.
But that's going to take some time.
Yeah, they're going to be a little bit homeless.
I never thought about that. The A's are just like Hugh Douglas.
What's a little bit homeless?
Hugh's a little bit homeless.
Okay.
A little bit homeless.
He's got a place to go every
Slightly
day.
Homeless.
I don't have a place that's my own. Not yet. I'm working on it.
He was like 20% homeless.
Yeah. So at some point, I'm sure we had the conversation of, would you find a place before the Eagles started camp?
We did.
That didn't happen.
It didn't happen.
So what's next?
Opening kickoff?
Playoff start?
Just push it to kickoff. Yeah, we didn't kick this can down the road this far.
Kickoff's 50 days.
I feel like Howie.
50 days away.
Yeah,
you're going to be in a place in 50 days?
Yeah.
He's about to start sweating. 50 days, it's going to go by quick.
I feel confident in this.
Do you?
Nah, not really.
All right, how about
I just like saying it, though.
The bye week in October. Will you be in a place by the bye week?
Yes.
Kyle, what do you think? Yes or no?
No.
Okay, Christmas.
I give him the end of the year, yeah.
Yeah,
Christmas?
I think January 1st is the new over-under.
Man, I'd be damned if I'm moving in January. That's cold. That's a cold move.
Would you rather move then or yesterday? With the 98 degree
Ooh, that's
weather.
A good question.
See, if I'd have moved yesterday, I'd have moved at night. Like, I would have got in the car and I'd have moved all my stuff in. I wouldn't have moved in the daytime. I'd have moved at night. That weirdo where everybody's trying to sleep and I'm moving stuff in. That'd have been me.
I'd rather move in the heat than the cold.
I agree. Yeah.
You got to wear a lot of layers in the cold. You might need gloves if it's really like icy out. You got to drive in the ice or whatever.
You know what? Maybe it would be better in the cold because you sort of warm up working out.
You do, yeah.
Yeah,
so maybe
you're doing a lot of moving. Yeah. You're definitely doing a lot of moving.
That's one of the situations where I would relent to the cold weather.
Now, when you say move, the way you're framing it is like you're actually moving yourself.
I'm talking like hauling couches upstairs.
Oh, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not hauling no couches. No, I'm going to get a mover company to do all that.
So,
I ain't doing the heavy lifting.
So the last time I moved was 5 years ago. We moved from our house in Jersey to where we live in Bucks County now. And after we did it all by ourselves.
Like y'all are some special individuals.
After that, I said never again. I know we haven't moved since then, but I
I'm not doing that. I'm surprised.
I'll move my clothes. That's all I'm moving. All that other heavy stuff.
I'm surprised you'd be willing to pay money for somebody to do a job.
Certain things that you just have to do. You know, because most of my stuff is in Georgia. I'm not about to ride all the way down there to pick it up and drive a U-Haul back. I'm not doing that.
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
You're not going just from hotel to home.
No, I'm just going to grab my clothes. I grab all my clothes. I move that myself.
The sweet life of Hugh Douglas.
Yeah, then I just, you know, let them move.
You do have a lot of T-shirts, so.
Got a gang of T-shirts.
Shoes, too, right? Big shoe guy?
Yeah. I have T-shirts and shoes. That's it.
What do you have more of, T-shirts or shoes?
T-shirts. I have more T-shirts. Because
ballpark the number of T-shirts you have. 200?
No, I got more than that. I probably got about 600 T-shirts.
600 T-shirts?
Probably. Because I still, like.
Wow.
Like, I've bought probably, since I've been here, maybe close to, like, 100, maybe.
Kyle, how many T-shirts do you think you own?
10.
Wait, no, you only own 10?
Not many.
I probably have about
40. I got, like, 40 ones. I mean, 40. You mean, like, something like this that I'm wearing right now? Like, not like collared ones, not nice ones?
Just a T-shirt, like that. You're wearing a T-shirt today, right?
Yeah, I'd say, I don't know, 10.
You only have 10 T-shirts? That feels low.
In the rotation.
I definitely have enough T-shirts where I can wear a different T-shirt for a year.
Well, so here's the thing. I have two of these.
But those are different T-shirts. Okay. Individual.
Sure.
Well, you're like Doug Funny of the same outfit.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, well, if you start noticing, like, what I'm wearing on a weekly basis, like, it's pretty much the same rotation of clothes.
Yeah, I've never really paid that much attention. I guess I will now. Big V and Mount Laurel. What's up, Big V?
Yo, man, what's happening?
Hey, Big V. What are you thinking?
Doc, look, first, let me address something. Hugh, you know I love you, right?
Here we go. That's how it usually starts, Big V. What? Okay, but you love me, but...
But you're absolutely right, man. Sometimes these pedestrians get a little bit...
You found an ally!
I wasn't expecting that, Big V. I thought it was going to go the other way.
They have such an arrogant sense of entitlement. They don't look. They're on their cell phone. They don't care. But see, this is the reason why. In every driver's manual, they say pedestrians always have the right of way.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, you can go on a road rage and, you know, because it gets to be annoying, especially when they're, you know, taking their sweet time, the light's green, and they're still prancing across the street, and you're in a situation like, you know, you got to go to the bathroom, you're late for a meeting, or your wife just called you and said she's in the bed naked and you really want to get home.
Yeah, you got to get home for that.
Yeah, exactly. But, however, when you touch a pedestrian, this is what's going to happen. They're going to call Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, and they're going to sue you so that they'll never have to work another day in their life.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. I don't hit them, but I do want to say mean and hurtful things to them, but I don't even do that.
You just come on the radio and tell everyone about it.
Well, no, it was a young lady today. Like, the light was green, and she just sashayed across the street, and I was like, green light, green light.
You said you roll your window down?
Yeah, I said green light. That's all I said.
You know what? When they're doing the cool walk, I've noticed, like, because I've done this once, just once, when they're doing, like, the, you know, super slow, like, look at me, I'm cool, slam on the horn. Like, it's impossible to look cool when you're jump scared.
Like a cartoon.
Yeah.
You like, lean on that horn and they jump.
Yeah.
Or you hit that accelerator.
They're not ready for it.
Or you hit the accelerator. They're like, oh, no.
They drop all the stuff on the ground.
I got to say this. You're really nice to, you know, call her green light because most people call her other things.
You know what? You know what's funny, Big V? I was talking to Joe about this morning. That's all I need. I already got two strikes. All I need is somebody to call into the radio station and say that I called them out their name. So I just said green light. You know what I mean? I don't need that problem, man. I don't need them problems.
I hear you. But listen, let's get down to the meat and potatoes. Jalen does not need to run to be a great quarterback. Okay? You look at our history of great quarterbacks, you know, they are excellent pocket passers. Now, the fact that he can run brings an added bonus to his game. It's another weapon. But his running ability should not be the primary weapon of the Eagles' offense. Bottom line. Okay. Now, because he can run, does it confuse defense? Yes. Does it get defensive coordinators to put a spy on them? Yes. Does it get them to freeze for a moment? Yes. But here's the problem that we always run into with great runners. They usually end up in great injuries.
Well, yes. And they decline quickly. Yes. That happens a lot.
Correct. Look, I mean, because look at Fran Tarkenton, Terry Bradshaw, yeah. Randall Cunningham.
Cam Newton, right? There's countless examples. Yeah, it's hard to sustain that way. Big V, we appreciate the phone call. I mean, the one thing is, most great Eagles quarterbacks, or the best Eagles quarterbacks, have been runners. I mean, it's the history of the franchise. Randall, Donovan, Carson. I mean, Carson wasn't a runner as maybe prolific as Jalen, but he moved a lot. And then once he lost that, it hurt. 215-592-9494. That is how you outboard. Does Jalen Hurts need his legs to win? I believe so. And should the Phillies go all in for Mason Miller, for the closer for the Oakland Athletics, would you trade either Aiden Miller or Andrew Painter for him? Would you trade one of the Phillies' top prospects to get this big-time bullpen arm? I would do. We'll keep the calls going here. Plus, if you want to agree or disagree with Hugh on his pedestrian take, go for it. 215-592-9494 Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Tired of the same old burgers and hot dogs all summer long? I got a suggestion for you. Make sliders with Hatfield Recipe Essentials. Ground pork and sausage, that'd make a great slider for you. So many flavors to choose from. Chorizo for a spicy kick, sesame soy ginger for an Asian flair, sweet or hot Italian for a taste of Italy, and ground pork if you just want to keep it simple. Make your summer sizzle with Hatfield ground pork and sausage sliders. Visit simplyhatfield.com and find your flavor. Find your flavor with Hatfield.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Isak Paredes grounds the first one that he sees from Christopher Sanchez for the first out of the sixth. Josh Naylor, two pitches and two outs for Sanchez. Gonna make it last a little longer, this All-Star thing. Sanchez saying it's easy.
It did look easy for some of those guys. Good night for the Phillies in the All-Star game. AL wins it, but it doesn't mean anything. It's just an exhibition last night. Phillies throughout, including mic'd up with the three infielders. Welcome back. 215-592-9494. We're chasing Mason today. Well, I want Mason Miller. Watching him last Friday against the Phillies. Watching him last night in the All-Star game. I think he's the most impactful player the Phillies could trade for the deadline, and I'd be willing to give up one of the top two prospects to get him. Would you? And, of course, Jalen Hurts. Can he win without his legs? Does he need his legs to win? As we discuss the Eagles getting close out of training camp starting the beginning of next week. All right, so Alec Bohm talking last night, and the topic here is about the deadline, right? The deadline is coming up 2 weeks from yesterday. We'll be at McGurk's. Tuesday the 30th is the MLB trade deadline. Here's Alec Bohm on the deadline and kind of what he's feeling as they get close to maybe adding something to this team.
Yeah, I mean, trade deadline's always weird just because, you know, just like that, you know, ring of the phone, you know, maybe somebody that you came up with, have been playing with for the last 3-4 years is gone, you know. So just kind of the business aspect of it is, you know, a little, makes it a little weird. But I mean, anytime.
Is it unnerving? I mean, because again, you guys are doing really well. But
yeah.
It's weird because you're hey, welcome in for the last couple of months.
Yeah, I mean, you build relationships with all these guys, and you know, every time you bring somebody in, somebody's got to go. So that's just the reality of it, and you know, who's to say what happens this year, this time around, who knows? And I think, you know, I think there's always surprises, and I think you just kind of roll with the punches and you just keep doing your thing.
Yeah, and that's interesting perspective, Hugh, because it does happen once in a while where someone leaves the team, right? Like, most of the time, if you're a contender, you're trading minor leaguers away, right? Like, not someone who's on the team. But sometimes, you know, you do move off of someone on the team. I guess you could even use the Whit Merrifield example last week, right? They cut Whit Merrifield, so.
Yeah, but he wasn't contributing the way that we thought he was.
No, but he was part of the clubhouse.
He was part of the culture a little bit.
It's a weird thing, but it's one that's necessary. I mean, if you want to win the World Series, this is your chance to get better. You have one more chance to get better before the stretch run of the season. And you know the other contenders are going to get better, right? The Braves are going to make moves. The Dodgers are going to make moves. They're all going to make moves. So now we wait to see what Dave Dombrowski does over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we all know as former athletes that it's the nature of the beast. But at the same time, it hits a little different when one of the core guys, say if one of the core guys got sent off. That feels a little different, but you do understand the premise of the whole situation, and you're trying to get better. You're trying to win a World Series, man. They get that.
And they're in the window right now to do it. 215-592-94. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Jalen, does he need his legs to win? And, of course, we're chasing Mason today here on the Midday Show. We have Chuck, who's up next. What's up, Chuck?
Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning, Chuck.
Listen, when you talk football, people listen. The same with Ike and John Ritchie. When you talk football, people listen. Now, what I can't get my hand around is, I like Hurts. I like Jalen. Believe me, I do. But it's just some odd things I see. I'm not used to seeing. I see him come off the field, and I don't care whether it's D1 football, pro football. This guy's always isolated. He always sits there. He just sits there by himself all the time.
Mm-hmm.
When he was in Alabama, and Nick Saban might be the best college coach of my lifetime, when he was in Alabama, I thought he did a great job. Then all of a sudden, and they blamed it on his lack of passing, they sit him down after a great career. And don't forget, when he leaves Alabama, he goes to Oklahoma, and he's terrific over there, too. But, and by the way, the guy that Saban, this is where I was perplexed. When he replaced him, this kid that's a quarterback at Miami, I don't think he's that good. I didn't think he's that good when Saban replaced him. Am I missing something?
Tua. You're talking about Tua.
Tua is...
Is he better than Jalen Hurts?
I don't think he is. No.
I don't think so.
Jalen, why are you interrupting me? Let me get my train of thought.
Chuck. I was trying to help you with the name, Chuck. He didn't have his name. I was just saying Tua for you.
Yeah, but I'm not here to talk about steering wheels and red lights.
Top below, you know.
Go ahead, Joe.
Let me get back to it. And Joe, you do know your football also. But all I'm saying is I don't understand what the scoop is with this kid. And he does perplex me. Now, You guys got the floor. Have a good day.
You got it, Chuck.
Thanks a lot, Chuck. Appreciate
it. I'm a disalarm by, because Chuck has a way he does things, right? Chuck comes in, he says his piece, and then he goes.
Then he leaves. Yeah.
He leaves. Sometimes I want to do a little back and forth. And
Chuck ain't got time for that. No. He just needs to drop what he wants to do, the mic drop.
I mean, I was letting him go, but it seemed like he wanted to his name.
You better not cut him off, man.
You better keep your mouth down and shut,
it's
boy.
A hard name to say sometimes.
Tua Tagovailoa?
Yeah.
It took me a while. Sometimes there are the names when you can't do it, and then once you get it, you got it.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Tua Tagovailoa.
Just like that.
You know. Yeah, sometimes. Yeah. Eric Bieniemy.
What did we do this morning? Lions with Stripes?
That one got you, huh?
Lions can't change.
You know, sometimes I try to bring metaphors to the table, and I have them in my head, saying them the right way, but when they come out of my mouth, I'm like, damn.
Smoking crack is like a great high.
It's another drop for Kyle.
The goal eventually for this show is that we could take a segment off and he could just hit all the drops of Hugh one by
one,
and no one will know we're not here.
But the fun part about it is, you know exactly what I meant. It just still made you laugh a little bit.
Well, I speak Hugh. Yeah.
My favorite Hugh metaphor is the one about smoking crack being a great high. That you've heard.
That's what I've heard.
That you've heard.
That's what I've heard, because I've seen.
And
like,
then Trot kind of confirmed for us.
No, I'm just saying. Crack. People, you know, you always see in movies when they hit, they, you know, when that happens, when that high kicks in, they just kind of.
Yeah.
They slump.
So they tell you.
Yeah, so I've heard.
Let's go to Steven in Chichester. What's up, Steven? Steven?
Oh.
Going once, twice. Hey, Steve.
Oh,
got you.
I was up on the ladder.
Hey, oh, be careful, Steve.
Hold up, Steve. You on the ladder on the phone? What's wrong with you?
No. The phone was on the counter, and I was up on the ladder. I just jumped off. Hey,
oh, listen. Okay. You had
to talk
okay.
to you. There's no one better to talk to you, to talk about Jalen Hurts than you, Douglas, who made a living getting to guys like Hurts, right?
I mean, I would think right, so. I mean, because you know what's funny, Steven, when you say that? It's like I try to channel what the game plan would be against a guy of Jalen Hurts' caliber, and that's kind of where I kind of draw, you know, assess what I'm about to say. So, yeah, to a certain extent, yeah, you're right.
So here's my question. Last year, they figured Jalen Hurts out. It seemed that they, after the seventh game, they figured out keep him in the pocket, make him read the defense, and then they had, like, delayed blitzes on him, and that crushed him. Now, if he's not running, how's he going to get away from that? And when you said earlier – you want Jalen Hurts to develop into a quarterback that's a pocket guy so he can extend his career. I don't give a crap about his extending his career. That sounds more like Ricky Waters for who or for what. I want a Super Bowl. And if it means he's got to run the ball like he did when he got here and like Mahomes does when he has to, that's what he's got to do. We want a Super Bowl.
Yeah, Steven,
I know that's selfish and all that. But
I think it's being a fan. I don't think it's selfish.
I don't mind your fandom, but Steven, in order for us to be in position to win a Super Bowl, he has to remain healthy, right?
Yeah, but if you're going to put
Wait a minute. There's another part to that.
Yeah, you're right.
He has to stay healthy. So in order for him to stay healthy, don't you think that it takes, you know, there's a higher percentage right. of him getting hurt when he runs the ball?
Well, there is. And so
okay,
it,
but wait a minute. Let me finish, Steven. And so if I keep the percentages lower for him getting hurt and him on the field by becoming a pocket passer, doesn't that, in essence, help us get to the Super Bowl?
It didn't last year. They did it last year.
But listen, Steven, I understand you're an excited fan. You're up on the ladder and everything, but just calm down for just a minute because I'm trying to bring this all together for you.
I'm hearing you. You're right. But
so that's all.
What you said to the year before where he was running the ball on a regular basis. Yeah, he was scrambling, getting out of pocket. He got to the Super Bowl. Last year, for some reason, I don't know, the defense figured him out or he was told to stay in the pocket. He did what you said, and look what we ended up with.
Steven, before Hugh goes on, my theory is that defenses realized he was hurt, and once they realized that the RPO like didn't work anymore because they stopped biting. And if they're not biting, like if he can't move, and they know he can't move like normal, it changes everything.
Yeah, but
so if we're going to play the way you says he's going to stay in the pocket and not move, isn't that just going to be a repeat of the second half of the season every time he plays good defenses?
Are you going to let me talk now, Steven, or are you going to jump
in
when I'm talking?
That's all I got to say.
Okay.
I'm listening to you. You know more than everybody.
Steven. Steven, we appreciate it.
So the point that I'm making is this, Steven. As a quarterback, you have to evolve. Now, to your point, Jalen was better that first year when he ran the RPO until teams figured him out. So that's where the evolution part comes in, Steven, is where you want him to be a better pocket passer so that teams won't key on the fact that he's a runner. The one thing that I pointed out that you probably missed this morning that I talked about is when I played in New York and I had trouble running against the counter trap. And when I stopped that trap play, then it opened up the door for them not to do it anymore. It's the same thing. It's the same philosophy when it comes to a quarterback. If Jalen Hurts is known as a guy who likes to pull the ball down and run it when he gets in trouble, or he can't pick up the delayed blitz or things of that nature, if he beats the delayed blitz and starts completing passes when they're blitzing him and leaving that and finding an open guy, what do you think that does? Teams stop doing that. This is a copycat league, Steven. That's why every week for the last couple of weeks when they were on that skid, like to a man, players were telling me that there were teams that they were playing against that can their whole philosophy, the way that they play, and they blitzed them because they couldn't stop the blitz. So in order to be a better quarterback and evolve as a quarterback, you have to beat teams from the pocket so that you can get back to what you do well, and that's use your legs. Bottom line.
It's almost like a what comes first thing.
Yes.
Right? Like, does he evolve first and then he still has his legs, or does he lose his legs and then he evolves? I mean, Russell Wilson is an interesting example of this. When Russell first came out, he ran a lot.
Yes, and then he stopped.
And then he stopped as time went on. But he still had it in his back pocket. Now,
and that's what I'm getting at, Joe. Because you have to have that threat, but you also have to be a threat to do or have success from the pocket. Like I said, and again, NFL is a copycat league. If I know that you have trouble blitzing, which the San Francisco 49ers open up that window or open up that door. Every week, go back and look at the film. You had teams lining up the same way, doing the same thing.
We all could have predicted exactly how the Bucs would play defense against the Eagles.
Yes, they came after them.
And the Eagles knew it, and they couldn't score.
Man, and I've been on the other side of that, too. I've been on teams, and I've been in games where we would blitz the hell out of a quarterback, and he would gash us. They would find an open man, and they would kill us with that. And we stop blitzing. You get out of, like, what you want them to do in defenses is to whatever the game plan that they think they have for you, that one ain't working. Mm. Now you open up the door for everything else. That's what I'm saying. In order for Jalen Hurts to have success, in my opinion, as a quarterback, you don't go back to doing the thing that made you successful. You work on the other aspects of your game that are probably lacking in order to, like a pitcher. If he throws a fastball and that's all he has, do you think that makes him effective? No. Makes him effective in the first inning.
You need more.
But when you get through the game, you're going to need more. It's the same thing. You got to develop a couple of pitches.
Well, it's like why Zach Wheeler developed the splitter when we talked to him in spring training.
Like, you have to be able to do something different. You just can't go to your bread and butter all the time.
Well, and that's unfortunately what happened. I thought what happened last year is once the RPO left, once they couldn't use it anymore, it was a problem. Steve,
look, I made Kyle smile. My baseball analogy.
I was impressed with the baseball comparison.
The baseball He's guy, right. Hugh Douglas. Yeah. It worked perfectly.
Talking about pitching arsenal and everything. Like, look at this.
You got to add some more pitches, man.
It's called growth as a commentator.
That's right. That's darn right.
But see, I like how Kyle make it, you know, he keep me grounded.
Come
he keep
a long
me perspective.
Way.
Yeah.
Hugh thinks he's just having a normal conversation. You give him a little nice pat on the back. Good job, Hugh.
Good job, Hugh.
Steve in Willow Grove. What's
not
up, Steve?
Above praise.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah. What's up,
morning,
Steve?
Guys.
Good morning.
Great, what's up, man? Great show. Great show. So, HD.
Yes.
Are the keys on hangers or you got them folded?
They're folded. You know what? You know what, Steve? Like, I, to this day, I don't dry my T-shirts. Like, I hang dry them. And I fold them, and before I put them on, I will iron them. Like, it's like I've been doing it since college. It's weird. Like, I really don't like
to. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, I don't really like to dry my – I don't like to dry most of my stuff in the dryer.
So you feel like it shrinks or changes?
Yeah, I feel like it does.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
I do.
You going dry fit tee or 100% cotton tee?
You know what? The kind that I have now, I think it's a blend. Because, like, I went through a phase where – I would only wear certain types, and I like the ones that are kind of like the dry fits. I don't really like the dry fits. I like the I can't remember the name of the T-shirts, but they're kind of like something like that. But they fit a little looser in the bottom, and they're kind of tighter up top.
Mm-hmm. You keep them separated by color and design?
Yes, I keep them like because all of my T-shirts are graphic tees. Don't be laughing at me, Steve. You asked a question, and I'm giving you an answer.
No, we need the Hugh Douglas laundry manifesto here.
I wear, like, all of my black tees are folded in a pile. The blue ones are in a blue pile. The red ones are in a red pile. The gray ones are in a gray pile. Yes.
You're very particular about this.
Steve making fun of me. I think he's taking notes.
I think he's taking notes.
More meticulous than the way I do it.
Man, listen. I'm the same way. I got my, you know, Phillies tees in a pile. I got my Eagles tees in a pile, you know.
I do. I haven't gotten to that point because most of the black ones are Eagles tees, and I have a few blue ones. I got some more blue ones that are Philly tees. So, yeah.
And I can relate to, like, you know, hundreds of t-shirts because, you know, it is what it is. So. It's good. It's great. And I'm not laughing at you.
You're laughing because you found the Kendrick spirit.
Laugh at him, Steve. It's fine.
Steve, what do you think? Are you chasing Mason with us?
Listen, I'm chasing Mason, and I'm giving them whatever they want, but I have the deal breaker. This is going to break the deal. We throw in the Fanatic.
Okay? We can't do that.
That's off the table.
Yeah, I mean, but that's... There are untouchables, and then there's an untouchable. The Fanatic's untouchable.
Yeah, you can't take him.
They're going to a new city. They need a mascot. We got it.
Not ours.
So what?
Yeah, but Steve, there's got to be a line. Like, Nebraska's got to play hardball here. If they ask for the Fanatic, there's a line.
They can have the fake Fanatic from a few years ago.
But you know, they can have – but everybody's been biting the Fanatic anyway, so they're probably going to get a knockoff of the Fanatic.
We had the knockoff Fanatic two years ago?
Yeah, I think it was a couple years ago, yeah.
Fake Fanatic.
We had a fake Fanatic?
Oh, yeah, it was a whole thing.
Guys, one other thing. The way you deal with these radical callers, like telling you guys what to do, man, you guys are great for taking that abuse.
Well, you know, everyone has different personalities, Steve, and we try to adapt, and it's like Jalen.
It's not. Steve, we appreciate it. Would you say it's like what?
Like Jalen. He's got to adapt, you said?
You know what? When you said adapt, you know what I thought you said? It's
adapt.
Like jail. I was like, jail? What do you mean adapting to jail?
I imagine you'd have to adapt in jail too, right? That's a serious adaptation.
When you said it, that's why I looked
Jailing,
at you like, wait a minute.
Not jail.
I thought you said it's like jail when you adapt. I'm like, wait a minute.
I'm not ready for that adaption. Not ready for that. All right, let's do it here. The midday, midweek, mid-show take sponsored by Matt Blatt Mitsubishi. Give Matt Blatt an at-bat.
It's midday, midweek, mid-show with Joe Giglio.
Mid.
You know, Hugh, you said something earlier. Sometimes there's like a pearl of wisdom, even if it comes out a little bit different. And I've always thought this. And
what's
I
that?
Think it's BS that lions can't change their stripes. You can. People can change. You're not always the same. It could be an athlete, could be a person, could be a player, could just be as someone you know. People change. People aren't always the same.
I think to that point, you don't really change. You just are more self-aware.
Well, but that could lead to some behavioral changes
self-aware. But you're still at the core, that person.
The stripe is still there?
Yeah, the stripe is still
there.
But
what if you cover it up a little bit?
Well, it's more like this. I think that you become more, and I like to use this analogy as well, you become more of a chess player.
Than a checker.
Instead of a checker player. Because in checker player, it's more like a reaction. Like I can think of plenty of times where, since I've been here, there are things that I want to say, but I'm like, yeah... That dog might not hunt.
So you're a chess player now.
Yeah, because it's like my wife used to tell me all the time when I was married. Like, Hugh, you can't always say what's on your mind or react the way that you want to react because you've got to be a grown up. You know.
Some would call this maturing.
Yeah, and but I call it being tactful. So you just have to kind of pull it back a little bit, man, because you know you don't want to. You don't like a lot of times I wouldn't think about the consequences. So now I think more about the consequences. I haven't changed to that point. I've changed to the point where I think more about the outcome of my actions more.
You think ahead, but like, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Kyle, what do you think? Can lions change their stripes?
Well, lions can't.
I don't
Tigers,
care.
I know. Hugh made me think of it by saying lions.
Yeah, I think, yeah, but I think like the root of the saying is more like some things are just sort of innately in you and you'll always fall back to them.
At the core?
Yeah.
Well, core values.
I think this does go back to Jalen. Like,
yeah.
At his core, does he just run?
Yes. There are some things that I think people can adapt to over time, but there is that part of you that will always remain.
It just feels too black and white. Yeah. And I think people can adapt. I think you can change a little
bit.
You don't have to always be the same. It's okay. Could be a Lion changing their stripes, as we heard earlier in the show today.
It's not getting crazy.
Yeah.
All right, 215-592-94. All right, we got a lot to get to here coming up next hour. Jalen Hurts, does he need his legs to win? I believe he does. Hugh believes he can adapt, doesn't need to run as much as he has in the past. His running certainly wasn't as good last year. Your take on the pedestrian thing? I mean, Hugh's going off today about pedestrians not paying attention as they cross the street. Who cares whose right of way it is? And Mason Miller, are you with us? Are you chasing Mason? I would give up one of the Phillies' two top prospects, Aiden Miller or Andrew Painter. Yeah, I know how good those guys could be. I would give one of them up to get Mason Miller here to add to this Phillies bullpen. Plus, we have to play some for you. Greg Cosell said regarding what he heard about Hurts' ability to run an offense. It's interesting, and it certainly plays into everything we're talking about with Hurts' ability to run. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. And recently, I visited my friend Dr. Rafi, the premier hair restoration specialist in the Delaware Valley, and I saw the cutting-edge surgical options he offers all genders, including the Artis IXI Robotic FUE, Neograft, and the non-surgical Almatet. Dr. Rafi will design a custom solution just for you, so stop hiding your hair loss. Call Dr. Rafi now, 215-890-100. That's 215-800-9100, and get your confidence back. Or visit PhillyHairMD.com. That's PhillyHairMD.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.